Good morning and I welcome you to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. This morning on the program, I want to talk about warning signs and why many do not heed them. There are many places in our society where we have warning signs. We might have warning signs on the side of a road that a bridge is out or that the side of the road or the shoulder is no longer there or there are potholes in the middle of the highway, or there's a bump coming up, or uneven pavement. We have warning signs in our traffic signs. We have warning labels on certain products that it contains a poison. Don't digest it. Don't get it in your eyes. Don't get it on your hands. We have warning signs different places. Electricity or high voltage, something along those lines. Those signs are put there for a reason, to protect us from serious injury or maybe even death. Well, God gives us warnings in His Word in both the Old and New Testament. I think about Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning things not yet as seen, talking about the flood, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. He was warned of God about this coming flood. Well, he and his family heeded that warning. They built the ark like they were supposed to, and they got on the ark, but nobody else got on the ark. They didn't want to heed that warning. They just wanted to continue living their sinful, carefree life. And when the flood came, they were all killed in that flood and died in an unsaved state. Warning signs. God gives us warnings. When I had an opportunity to travel to mainland Europe back in 2010, I had been to Spain with my father and brother doing some preaching all the way back in 1991. But in 2010, I was able to go to the UK. I was able to go to France, to Germany. One thing that is very interesting in the UK with regard to warning labels on cigarettes, I had never seen this in my whole life. They have cigarette package dispensers in the airports, in the train stations, in the subway stations, in all kinds of stores. And on these cigarette packages and on these dispensers, there are graphic warning labels about the dangers of smoking. I've never seen this before in my whole life. And it's not just one warning label like on a dispensing machine. They are individual warning labels on each package of cigarettes. And it's interesting. Number one, it's very plain and graphic. I'm going to read these to you in just a minute. I took some pictures of them. They were just so different than what we see over here. Our warning labels over here on cigarette packages or cartons or boxes of cigarettes tend to be small print. The Surgeon General says that smoking may cause cancer. It's real small. It's sometimes on the back of the package. That's not what's going on in Europe. It's very plain. It's very graphic. Number two, it's very obvious. It's posted everywhere. And number three, it's not just one label like on a machine. It's on every individual package. Very interesting. They want to make sure that you are warned about the dangers of smoking. Let me read you some of these. Stopping smoking reduces the risk of fatal heart and lung disease. Smokers die younger. Smoking can cause a slow and painful death. Smoking when pregnant harms your body. Smoking seriously harms you and others around you. Smoke contains benzene, nitrosamines, formaldehyde, and hydrogen cyanide. This was on the individual packages of cigarettes in another dispenser. Smoking harms unborn babies. Quitting will help you improve your health. Smoking causes kidney and bladder cancer. Smoking damages your gums and teeth. Smoking causes peripheral vascular disease. Smoking causes mouth cancer. Smoking causes blindness. Smoking doubles your risk of stroke, and on and on and on. It's amazing. It's on the Marlboro packages. It's on the Camel packages, Benson and Hedges, L&M, all of their cigarette packages. Very interesting. I like the one that just says, smoking kills. It's just plain and obvious. Another one says, your doctor and your pharmacist can help you stop smoking. Smoking can cause a slow and painful death. That's pretty plain and graphic and obvious. At least in the UK, they want to be very plain about their warnings. They want you to understand up front what you're getting into. Well, this can be seen throughout Europe, and it's quite amazing how they handle that matter. It reminds me of the Bible, friends, where God gives us warning. And one of the main warnings that it gives us is the warning about hellfire. And I want to talk about that, and I want to talk about the matter of warnings for just a little bit. Now, what's interesting is on these cigarette package dispensers, these machines, I'm standing there in the airport or in the subway station or the train station, and you'll see people come up and they'll buy cigarettes. And when the little package of cigarettes comes out of the machine, it's got this big old plastered warning label on it. The print, by the way, is very large. The print is just as large as the Marlboro label, if not larger. They want to make it plain and obvious. And you'll see these people coming up and buying these cigarettes, and they obviously see the warning label. But what's happened is they've seen it so much that they don't care about it anymore. And I wonder if that's what happens with the Bible. In days gone by, people were warned about hellfire, but now they don't care anything more about it. They just go on their way, living the life that they want to live, and they don't care about the warning. So we've got to be careful about that, friends. God warns us, and we need to appreciate the warning. When we're driving down the road, we appreciate, I hope, warning signs that let us know, well, you know, there's a bridge out up ahead or something along those lines. We appreciate that. We want to stay safe. We appreciate our doctor giving us a warning about our diet or something else. We appreciate that. We want to keep living. Why wouldn't we appreciate the warning that is coming to us in God's Word? I think a lot of people approach life with, you know, sort of this out of sight, out of mind attitude. You know, if I don't read my Bible, then I don't have to worry about it. But it's still going to be there. It's still going to face us in the future. And so we would do well to take heed. Like Noah, he was warned of God. And God warns us about things in His Word. And like Noah, we need to heed that warning. So let's talk about Bible warnings. And so these cigarette warning labels that are found throughout Europe, like these warnings, everyone today is told clearly about hell. These warning labels, like I said, are on each individual package of cigarettes. It's very large print. It's just very plain and obvious. Smoking kills. Smoking, cancer from smoking kills. It's just obvious. And everybody is told about it. And the same thing is in the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 46, when Jesus is talking about the judgment day, everybody is told about hell. Everybody that hears the Word of God or that picks it up and reads it themselves is told about hell. It's just plain and obvious. Jesus doesn't beat around the bush about the matter. We need to be warned in advance about hellfire. And hell is not a cuss word. It's a place of torment, and we need to take it seriously. Jesus said, "And these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9, Paul is very plain about hell. And he says, "Those who know not God, and to them that obey not the gospel, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord." And there are many people in Clarksville and Montgomery County and all around the state and around the country and around the world who have not obeyed the gospel. And Paul says they're going to suffer punishment and eternal destruction from the face of the Lord. That's the warning. We need to take that seriously. And like these cigarette package warnings, everyone is told multiple times about hell. Hell is not just mentioned one time in Scripture. These warning labels are all over the individual packages of cigarettes. Many, many of them. That's what first struck my attention when I walked by. I'm like, what is this? What in the world is this? It's very clear. It's very obvious. Number two, it's multiple times. You cannot mistake what's going on here. It's worded different ways. It's worded in different ways so that you can get different understandings about what this tobacco is going to do to your health. Hell is mentioned 12 times in the New Testament and 11 times by Jesus. And the other time is by his brother James. It's also mentioned by Paul and throughout his epistles, using the expression eternal destruction. John uses it in the book of Revelation, the second death or torment or the lake of fire. It's mentioned multiple times and in different ways. And some people still don't care. Friends, we need to take heed to the warning. Number three, like these cigarette warnings, everyone is told in advance about the coming death. Paul said in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Talking about spiritual death, we're told in advance what happens when we sin. Romans 6:23. We're also told in advance by John in the book of Revelation about the second death, about fire and brimstone, the lake of fire, hell. We're told in advance. When you buy one of these cigarette packages in Europe, you're being told in advance before you start smoking, this is what's going to happen. And yet, many will not heed the warning. And so I want to talk about now why that is the case. Why is it that people will not heed the warning? Why is it that I stood there and watched people, person after person, buying cigarettes with all these warning labels everywhere? Why? Well, let's talk about that. First of all, somebody might just say in their mind, well, how bad can it be? It's just a cigarette. How bad can it be? And I believe in our country, years ago, that was kind of the thinking, you know. It might be a dirty habit or something like that, but it's not going to kill you. But we know now that it does. How bad can it be? How bad can hell be? Really, it can't be that bad. You know, the devil's probably not that bad. Jesus said that eternal fire, Matthew 25:41, eternal fire is prepared for the devil and his angels. Well, you know, how bad can the devil be? And all kinds of ungodly and wicked people will be there. It really can't be all that bad. After all, you know, there's places where, you know, you'll hear people say, well, that was hell on earth. And so, you know, there's bad places around the earth. It's hell on earth. So that's probably what hell's going to be like. Well, they don't know the biblical description. Outer darkness, and where the fire is not quenched, and when the worm dies not, and separated from the face of the Lord, and those kinds of things. It will be bad. Sometimes a person will think in their mind, well, you know, the warning is misleading or false. Every once in a while when you're driving down the road, you'll see a warning sign, and the highway department has not taken up that sign yet. At one time, it was valid. but it says, you know, bridge out ahead or something like that. And they haven't come by to get it yet. And the bridge is still there. Everything's fine. They just haven't picked up the sign yet. And so I believe some people think that that's what's going on maybe with the Bible. You know, the warning is misleading or false or not accurate. Well, everything in the Word of God, of course, is true. This third situation, I think, is very common today. People think, well, you know, the consequences are too far off in the distance for me to worry about now. I've got my smoking habit now. It's something that I've been doing for a long time. I'm not going to worry about lung cancer and mouth cancer and all of this stuff. It's way off down the road. I'm just fixed right now on getting my nicotine fix, and that's all I'm concerned about. Yes, I'm pregnant, but I'm not going to deal with that, you know, until my child is born or my child later in life. And so we just kick the can down the road, so to speak, and we don't think about it. The problem with that is Jesus could come at any time. We're told different times in the Word of God that Jesus is going to come as a thief in the night when we're not expecting. And so the consequences certainly may be a lot closer than we think. So let's not operate like that. Another thing that people do is they'll say something like, well, you know, I'm going to take my chances. It may not happen to me. And there's some people that smoke their whole life, and they never die of lung cancer or anything like that. They just die of old age. And it's possible that you can smoke and not get mouth cancer and lung cancer and throat cancer and liver cancer and stuff like that. It's possible, yeah. But the problem with regard to heaven and hell is Jesus, in the same place in Matthew 25:46, where he said some will go away into eternal punishment, if you start reading in verse 31, Jesus is talking about how all the nations will be gathered before him in the judgment day. We're all going to be there. So it's not a matter of, well, I'll take my chances, maybe it won't happen to me. Everyone is going to be assigned to either heaven or hell. There's no exceptions to that. There's no other alternatives. There's no other choices. We're not going to be able to say, I'm not going to be there. We're not going to be overlooked. That type of thing. It's going to happen to me. Heaven or hell is going to happen to me and to you. That's just the way it is. And then last of all, I think that this is clearly the case with regard to smoking. And that is that many are so addicted to it that they won't give it up. It feels so good that they won't give it up. They don't care about the warning labels, their present life, and getting their fix and getting that nicotine rush and help that they believe that they're getting from that. It feels so good to them that they don't care about the bad that they're pouring into their body because they just don't want to give it up. It feels too good, and I'm too addicted. You can give it up, by the way. I've known of different people. A good member of the church that I knew for many years had smoked as a teenager, smoked a lot as a Marine in Vietnam, smoked his whole life. One day, he just gave it up and quit. He didn't use a patch. He didn't chew nicotine gum. He didn't go to any programs or anything like that. He just quit. He had the willpower to quit, and he did. I've known of other people like that. So whether you get help or not, you can give it up. But people think, well, you know, I can't give it up. And so the sinful life that people are living, they say, well, you know, it just feels too good and I can't give it up. You can and should. Why are you going to live this sinful life that makes you feel good now and give up all the grandeur and glory of heaven? Why would you do that? And living the pleasures of sin for a season, the Hebrew writer talks about that in Hebrews chapter 11. You're just going to engage in the pleasures of sin for a season, but then you're going to pay for that with eternal hell fire and torment. Why would you do that, friend? Let's heed the warning. Let's not just slough it off as no big deal. God gives us warnings. We just mentioned that he gave Noah and the world of his day a warning. He said, I'm going to bring a flood, Genesis chapter 6 and 7. Here's how you can be saved. You can build an ark and put those animals on it, and you can get on it, and you can be saved. He was a preacher of righteousness, 2 Peter chapter 2, but people didn't want to listen to his message. God warned Sodom and Gomorrah that they were going to be judged, but the people of Sodom and Gomorrah didn't want to give up their homosexuality and their other sinful things, and so God rained down fire and brimstone. He gave a warning to Lot and his wife and family to get out, but Sodom and Gomorrah, the citizens there, didn't want to get out. God gave a warning to Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, in the days of Jonah. In Jonah chapter 3, he gave them a warning, repent, or this city is going to be overthrown. And the king and the other people listened to that warning. What a great thing that was. About 100 years later, they had slumped back into their sin, and Nahum talks about the fall of Nineveh. But God had given them a warning. Do you know that Jesus gave Jerusalem a warning in Matthew chapter, the end of Matthew chapter 23 and chapter 24? This house is going to be left unto you desolate. One day the stones of this temple are going to be brought down. He gave them a warning about the coming Roman conquering of Jerusalem in AD 70. Many of the Jews didn't care about that. He gave them a warning. In Revelation chapter 17 and chapter 18, two chapters, Jesus gave a warning to Rome through John. Rome, the great harlot, is given a warning that she's going to be brought down one day. Fallen, fallen is Babylon, referencing Rome, who was like the ancient wicked city of Babylon. And yes, even Jesus gives a warning to the whole world. In 2 Peter chapter 3, there is a day coming. The day of the Lord is coming. It will come as a thief, 2 Peter 3:10, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that these things are all thus to be dissolved, in other words, I'm giving you a warning, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy living and godliness, looking for and earnestly desiring the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Just a few words earlier, Peter had said the exact same language, and then a few words later he says the exact same thing. The warning is repeated. So, as I mentioned earlier, it's clear, it's given multiple times, and it's given in advance. And so, one day, everything around us is going to be gone, and we're going to face God in the judgment. Friends, are you ready? And I'm ready. Am I ready? So, I just want to close with some admonitions. We need this kind of preaching and teaching. We need warning. We need warning. And that's what I'm trying to do today. And I hope that I can help in that matter. There was an Old Testament king of Judah named Jehoshaphat. He wasn't righteous in all of his life, but there was some good found in him. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 19, we're told that he wanted to make some reformations in Judah at this time. And he set up different men, priests, those who would teach the word of God to others. And we read in 2 Chronicles 19, verse 10, And whensoever any controversy shall come to you, this is Jehoshaphat talking, from your brethren that dwell in your cities, between blood and blood, between law and commandment, statutes and ordinances, you shall warn them that they be not guilty towards Jehovah, and so wrath come upon you and upon your brethren. This do, and you shall not be guilty. Go out and take the word of God and warn people. Warn people so that they're not guilty before God. We need to be reminded to warn others. We need to warn others as God warns us. Remember Hebrews 11, verse 7. God warned Noah, being warned of God. We need to do exactly what God does with us. That's going to be helpful. And what do? We don't warn people with hysterics and going out with some sort of sensationalism and getting people stirred up. We take the word of God. We don't use our opinions. We don't use our think-sos and human philosophies. The psalmist in Psalm 19, David in Psalm 19, praises the word of God. And he says, moreover, by them, that's the words in the word of God, the statutes, the commandments, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. We use the word of God to warn others. And we must go out and do that. God told Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 3 to go out and be a watchman who warns his people. And God told Ezekiel, look, I'm telling you in advance, many people are going to be hardened and they're going to set their face against you and they're not going to like your message, but give them a warning so that their blood is not on your hands. Give them a chance. Speak my words unto them. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 7. And then again, of course, in chapter 3 and verse 18. Warn the wicked man from his wicked way. Get him to turn around. God says, I do not want to see the wicked die. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I want to give them warning. What a great thing that is. And we must never give up on warning others. Paul did that in his ministry when he met with the elders there at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. He wanted to give them warning. I admonished you. The idea of warning others, literally putting to mind. Think about this seriously. And so, friends, warning signs. They are in the Word of God for our admonition. God does not want to see us in hell. Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, not for you and I. Jesus also said in John 14, 1, there's another place that's prepared. I go to prepare a place for you, and he's talking about heaven. We need to go to heaven that is prepared for us, not hell that is prepared for the devil and his angels. The way we do that is we come and obey the gospel, and if we can help you to do that. Let's get together and study. Thank you for your time and attention this morning.